Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Live, as always, you're invited to control the airwaves. You can talk about whatever is important to you or whatever we happen to be discussing, because there's always stuff to talk about. 603-283-6160 if you would like to weigh in. That's 603-283-6160. With you in the studio tonight, it's Aria,
Nikki, and it's Bonnie.
And as usual, crazy stuff going in on in the news today. I had a lot of spare time, like yesterday, so I watched a lot of TikTok. And I love TikTok. I just wish it had better categorizing for videos, right? Like, I want to see a video's title before I watch it, so I know whether or not I'm going to be interested in it. And this is somewhere where, like, YouTube excels. And with TikTok, it's not that big a deal, because if it's only, like, 3 minutes, I didn't lose a whole lot of time. But, like, if it's a video on the history of, you know, Israelites in the land of Canaan or whatever, I'm probably not going to care about it. But if it's a history on the, if it's a 3 minute video on the history of, you know, Yahweh and El and whatever crap, I'm probably going to be interested in this. It's all from the same creator with no indication of which video is about which thing.
Elohim, it was plural.
Is that, was it? Well, it's over. I hadn't even heard about this until yesterday. It's a tremendously fascinating subject.
I have no clue what you guys are talking about.
I forgot to reply to you yesterday, Aria, but I have seen that Psalms 84, but I only saw the one part that says, ye are gods. So I was like, oh, the Bible says we're all gods.
And this is 82.
Oh, 82.
Rather than 84.
Well, I never read the whole thing until last night. I read the whole chapter, and then I was like, I'm a little confused now about what it means. So I wanted to watch the video you sent, but I just forgot until right now.
Yeah, it's tremendously fascinating. I've never heard anything about it. Apparently, the contention is that Yahweh began as this, like, regional deity in, you know, in the Middle East, in the desert, in the Israeli-Egyptian region or whatever. And he was like a metallurgy deity, a god of blacksmithing, essentially. And the Israelites adopted him as their patron deity. And it was their belief that every nation had their own patron deity. And then something happened. And there was this higher deity, a supreme deity, that was not Yahweh, or the Christian God. It was someone else called I forget
is
what it was.
Is it Elohim? Which is plural?
There was El that I saw, but Elohim also came up in other contexts. But anyway, so there was a supreme God, and then something happened, and all the other nations had their deities deposed, which left Yahweh there to take over. And it's all very fascinating, and I've never heard any of this before. And I don't believe any of it to be, like, historically valid or whatever. I mean, obviously, these people probably believed this in 3500 BCE or whatever, and I don't really care, but I don't think reading about the story of what they believe happened in the spiritual realm is actually indicative of anything that actually happened in the real world. But it's fascinating to read about, just like I enjoy reading about fantasy worlds and dragons and crap that don't exist.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it is, you can learn a lot about a population based on their religious beliefs, especially looking back historically, you know, like thinking of like Greek mythology. It's helpful to see, like, what did the Greeks and the Romans believe? Because that kind of can give you some insight into their behaviors and the patterns and, you know, the way they sculpted their own worlds. So it is,
I think,
rather fascinating.
Most interesting thing about finding out more things about, like, the Bible specifically, like, people probably wonder why, at least me, I don't know about Aria, probably wonder why I have, like, this obsession with it. Like, you're not a Christian, why do you care?
Probably, right?
But it's interesting because it's crazy how much they don't teach you when you're a little kid in Christian school in America, and how much the average Christian doesn't know about any of this at all.
Well, that's what they say, right? The people who are the most well-read in the Bible, like the people who are really, really studying the Bible, are always either atheists or agnostic, or, you know, they're never Christians. Yes. And they're certainly not Catholics.
The guy I've been watching, and I can't remember his name right now, and I hate that, because he's definitely someone you should check out. He's a Mormon, and you can't really tell that he doesn't do or say any Mormon things, but he's a biblical scholar. He's got his PhD. He's written books and stuff, and he does fantastic videos, but It heightened my respect level for Mormons, which was already pretty high, because all the Mormons that I've ever met personally were really cool people. They were really tolerant people. They were really awesome people. And I respect that. And they're also big fans of gold and silver and cryptocurrency and stuff. Not so much cryptocurrency, but they understand the value of alternative currencies and not using the money that Caesar hands you to give. It was actually a Mormon who first pointed out to me that Satanism is a denomination of Christianity, which is something that I had never thought of before. But anyway, so this guy's a Mormon, and it's interesting hearing his criticisms of some of the teachings in the New Testament and the Old Testament in that context, because normally I would just say this guy's a Christian, but he's not a Christian. He's a Christian, but Mormon. And that allows him to be free, I guess, to actually criticize the Bible in ways that a lot of Christians won't. Like, they hold to the belief that the Bible is the uncontested word of God.
Yeah.
And as a Mormon, he doesn't have to do that. He could say, oh, no, that thing right there, that's garbage.
And that's just so interesting, though, because both of those religions, from what I know, are very exclusive, right? It's like, if you're a Christian, you're not allowed to be, like, you can't be Christian and Jewish. That is, like, against the rules. So this is the first time I'm hearing of someone being both Christian and Mormon.
And
I mean, of course you can be whatever you want.
Well, I always considered Mormon a denomination of Christianity.
Well,
it's a weird one.
I think it is, and a lot of them think they are, or say that they are. Like, if you ever say, like, I'm not a Mormon, I'm Christian, a lot of times in Utah, like, another kid hears you say that in high school, they'll be like, well, technically Mormons are Christian. Like, it happens often.
Okay. See, I don't know much about it.
But,
It's a weird one.
It's like a contentious thing. But one thing I did hear, according to my mom, so I don't know if it's true, is that the Mormons, like, they believe the Bible is a holy book, but the Book of Mormon is a more complete, more true version.
I guess that makes sense.
It does. I don't know if I agree with their assessment, never having read the Book of Mormon.
Based on what they believe in, you know what I mean?
Just yesterday, for a unrelated reason, I started thinking, I kind of want to read the Book of Mormon now.
I started to.
Oh, wow.
And, like, every single paragraph begins with the phrase, and so it came to pass. And so it came to pass. Yeah. Over and over and over. And after, like, the fourth page of this, I was like, I'm done. I can't. Cannot take it. And you could almost tell that it was just this guy reading magic words out of a hat that weren't really there.
Yeah.
He was just making up the story as he went.
It's like the world's worst poem.
Yeah, and he just had this nervous tick that he kept reverting back to, which was, and so it came to pass.
It just made it sound more religious-y to him.
Yeah, I guess so. But that was as far as I've got. But Islam sort of does the same thing. It's like they recognize the validity of the Torah, which is the Old Testament. Well, part of the Old Testament. I don't remember the exact specifics.
Yeah, like the first five, right?
Yeah. So they recognize the validity of the Old Testament, at least, and the New Testament. They recognize that Jesus was a prophet of God, but not the final prophet and not the Son of God. And then they have their book that was brought to them by Muhammad called the Quran, and that is what they say is the ultimate version of God's teachings, whereas the Jews stop with the Old Testament, the Christians stop with the New Testament, and the Muslims stop with the Quran. And so all a matter of which one of these books you happen to prefer, I guess. And I don't really prefer. I've never read the Quran either. I've read bits and pieces, but never enough to really give it a fair shake. And I'm not sure that I really have any interest in it, because I don't care what the holy book itself says. I want to know what people have to say about the holy book. I want to know, because I don't believe that what the holy book says is true, right? But what the people believe it says has an actual effect on the world, because people's actions are guided by their beliefs and their religions.
That's a great point. Yeah.
So I want to know what the Muslims say about the Quran and what the Mormons say about the Book of Mormon or whatever.
The reason that the Book of Mormon started sounding interesting to me yesterday is more because it's like a more modern book, and it would be such like, it's kind of like Americana. And I was just hearing, like, I knew that there was little like something around this subject in the Book of Mormon, but I never heard so much about it till this like video I was watching yesterday, that they believe that like everything that happened in the Bible that was supposedly Israel, it didn't happen where we say Israel is today. It happened in South America.
Really? Wait.
And so, they have tons of stories.
I just got lost. That's what Mormons believe?
That's what Mormons believe in the Book of Mormon.
Right. Says. No, I feel like I've heard that before. They like, yeah.
Yeah,
it happened in America, I guess. That's what I heard.
I don't remember. Go ahead.
Before that, they thought Jesus, like, went to America to preach to the Native Americans. Like, I thought that, like, when he died, he, like, appeared to them. But no, they think that the reason we can't find the archaeology for the stuff that happened in the Bible is because it didn't happen in modern day Israel. It happened
in
South
America.
So the
first two words are correct.
So basically they think that Utah is Israel?
They do. That's exactly it. They think that Adam and Eve came from Utah, if I remember correctly.
Wow, I didn't know that.
I'm not 100% sure. I'm saying if I remember correctly. And again, I've never read the Book of Mormon. Most of my information about Mormonism comes from what I've heard from Mormons. And from South Park. And I hate that. I hate saying that, but like when they set out to present you with the facts of what a religion actually believes, as far as I can tell, Trey Parker and Matt Stone honestly do that. Because they wrote a Broadway play called The Book of Mormon. I've never seen it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I did see the South Park episode that was about the Book of Mormon, and it's really good. And, you know, they pop up there on the screen, this is what Mormons actually believe. And you're like, this is crazy. There's no way people actually believe this. But every time I've looked into any of the claims they made, I was like, oh, my God, that is what Mormons actually believe. Just like with the Scientology claims that they made about this is what Scientologists actually believe. They're like, there's no way anyone believes this nonsense.
Yeah, and then a bunch of people started coming forward, like breaking off from the cult, telling their experiences. And it's like, oh, gosh. That was all real. That's kind of scary.
The Mormons have this saying about, you know how they go door to door? Well, they have this saying called sugar before salt, and it means, like, we tell them all the easy to digest, like, things that sound acceptable to the average person, and we do not let them know about the secret underwear or whatever until later.
See, I almost respect that because Christians do the same thing. And when I say Christians, I mean mainstream Christians. They do the same thing. They're just less upfront about it. Right? When I remember being in vacation Bible school and Sunday school and all that garbage with the, you know, the middle-aged lady saying, oh, Jesus loves you and he wants you to be happy and, oh, he loves you so much.
It sounds so nice,
right? Watching over you. Yeah, that's how they introduce it to you. And then 5 or 6 years later, like, oh, yeah, by the way, if you make him angry, he's going to torture you forever. Right? They don't introduce you to that at the beginning. They introduce you to the warm, fuzzy sugar before salt. Exactly that. And it's not until you're much older when you're like, oh, okay, well, they lied about him living in the clouds. They lied about him loving me. They seem to have lied every step of the way. And I think that in a lot of cases, it bites them in the rear like that because by that point, it's just like teaching people to believe in Santa Claus or the Easter Bunny or whatever.
Yeah.
You're setting your kids up to not believe you.
Yeah.
That was the exact arc that I took with my parents. I was like, okay, well, the Easter Bunny isn't real. Santa Claus isn't real. I figured it out. This Jesus guy isn't real either.
Yeah, but then, you can't say that.
Yeah, they don't like that at all.
Absolutely not.
But, like, they set up that entire thing for me to come to that inexorable conclusion.
Yeah, and then you get punished for just, you know, using common sense and logic.
Yeah, so then my conclusion was, oh, okay, so this is the one that this is the Santa Claus that they still believe in, but I don't because, just like Santa Claus, there's never been any evidence that this guy actually exists other than the Bible.
I think I'm lucky that my parents just didn't actually try to make me believe in Santa Claus. Like, they did, like, some funness around it, but I think they made it really obvious that it wasn't true because I don't remember ever actually believing that.
No, I remember when I was little, I actually believed in it. And I think once I became, like, 8 years old, then I was like, Mom, this isn't real, right? But I always have kind of, I don't really care how people raise their own children, of course. You know, I try to be... You know, not judgmental, whatever, but I always have an issue with Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny because it's just, I don't like lying. And it's kind of a weird, like, manipulative thing that parents do where they're like, oh, Santa Claus is watching. And it's the same thing they use with God where it's like, oh, well, you can't do that because God's watching and you can't do that because you'll go to hell. So it's just...
Yeah. It's very deceitful, and I don't like
it.
The length to which they go to perpetuate this myth is also unsettling. Like, I remember being a little kid and watching on the news coming out of, you know, the actual television that, oh, we're monitoring Santa's sleigh, and he's on the East Coast right now. I'm like, wow, that's amazing. And then it turned out that all of these people conspired to lie to me.
Yeah, and it's just
like, what do you think
that
does to people's trust?
Well, and it's just supposed to be this, like, cute, fun thing. And I think a lot of people, as adults, like, leave it at that. Like, no one's really, like, scarred for life because of Santa Claus. But me, personally, it showed me, like, that and a few other things, like... All of these adults are liars, and they are untrustworthy, and I would hate for my children to think that about me.
And,
you know?
The thing about it being manipulative is it teaches kids, whether it's God or Santa Claus, that they're telling them, like, don't be bad because Santa Claus or God will know about it. It teaches them to not be bad because they'll get in trouble. Mm-hmm. Not don't lie because it's wrong to deceive people. I remember lying about something stupid and simple, like I did something, like I ate something that I wasn't supposed to at my grandparents' house, and then like they're asking who ate it, and I was like, I didn't do it, and then just like going and being alone and being like, I'm going to hell. Like, oh no, I'm going to go to hell for this. Like, I just remember that so well. And I was like really little. I remember being short enough to where the refrigerator was like, I don't know. I just remember being really small.
I killed a baby bird. My brother, I know, I feel terrible about it even now, but my brother had knocked his nest out of the tree because, you know, he's an older idiot and that's what idiot teenagers do. So he did that. And then this older kid was like, I dare you to kill one of them. I was like, this little five-year-old kid.
Yeah.
He's like, well, if you just stomp it in the head hard enough, it'll kill it. Obviously, that didn't kill it. He's like, well, you stomp on it. So I did that.
Aww.
And it died. And I was convinced that I was going to hell for that. So there I was, like 5 years old or whatever, just crying hysterically because I had taken something's life and I was going to hell for it. And all of that, and I wasn't even, that was like before my grandmother and the religious indoctrination really began. At that point, I had been to church maybe a dozen times in my life.
But you hadn't been taught, like, don't hurt other things that are helpless because it's wrong in of itself and blah, 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 blah. You just were taught, you'll go to hell. So what good did it do? I mean, you were also five, so I'm not saying, like, you were a horrible person or anything.
Well, I've killed plenty of worse things than birds in my life since. I do shoot a cat once to put out of his misery, and that was one... No, it was a dog to put out of his misery. That was one of those horrific things I've ever done.
Well, it's different than killing a dog just to kill it or torture
obviously.
It or something.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've killed spiders just to kill them before, and I'm not proud of that either. And to me now, there's no real qualitative difference between the life of a spider and the life of a baby bird. I mean, the only difference people would make is that one is cuter and therefore worthier of life or whatever, but I today avoid trying to kill either of them. I will take a spider outside or whatever, like, here you go, good luck. Like last year, some spider egg, whatever they're called, the bunches of eggs, they hatched right in front of my front door or like right there at the front door, and there were just dozens of spiders, and I hated it. I hate spiders so much. One of the things I love about New England is that I don't have to deal with spiders.
Except and if you do, they're small.
Yeah. And if they happen to get into my house, I don't have to worry about it because I have two cats, and they're really, really good at finding spiders. I don't know how they hear them, but they do. And they zero in on it, and they very quickly eliminate the problem. But these were outside. And every night, I would come home from work, and I would get out the water hose, and I would just spray them all down. And then the next night, they'd be right back up there. I was like, oh, I want to kill them so badly. But I didn't.
I find nothing wrong with killing spiders. Nikki and Calvin and Ian and Matt, or maybe, I don't know about Matt, but...
But I just don't deserve it, right?
Everyone else in my house is like, let me come free it. And I'm like, you better free it right now.
Well, my perspective is pretty much probably very similar to theirs, which is it doesn't deserve to die. It's just trying to live. And, you know, it's helpful in some ways. I never had to worry about mosquitoes sticking into my house or whatever through the front door. But these spiders were always there, and it was really annoying. But anyway, so I killed the baby bird, and I felt terrible about that. I'm not convinced that it really did me any good because I was just scared that I was going to hell. I didn't feel bad because I had done something wrong, or maybe I did. I don't know. And my feelings were just muddied by the fear of going to hell anyway. I don't know. I was 5 years old then, but it didn't teach me to be a better person. But the religious indoctrination was there nonetheless.
Well, it's more an obedience thing, right? It teaches people to be obedient rather than having any sort of like ethic, like real...
Right.
Grounded ethics and morals.
Well, that's all the core of Christianity is. It's that's exactly what Christianity is. You have this tyrant God who says obey, and you're not allowed to ask why. And because you see in the book of Job, when you do ask why, God comes around and says, who are you? How dare you ask me that, you tiny little insignificant thing? Do you know how big I am? Do you know how great I am? How dare you ask this question of me? But it's a fair question, and I feel like anyone who tells you to do something or gives you a command or tells you you should obey, it's a fair question. Why? Why should I obey this? Why are you correct and I'm wrong? And if they're actually right, they should be able to present a reason that you should obey them. Like, well, don't kill... God hypothetically would say, well, don't kill people. And we say, why? Why not kill people? God says, well, because one, it's going to make you feel really guilty about it. And two, that other person deserves to live just as much as you. Just like, oh, okay, well, that's solid enough, right?
And
that's
I don't
what I
think
mean by justifying it.
This is what I mean by I think I have more respect for the God of the universe than a Christian, because if a Christian believes that the all-powerful, all-knowing creator of absolutely everything, not just, like, someone who created just the earth, would just say, like, just don't do it because I said so, just because that's how they treat their kids, I mean, that's ridiculous. I think that they would be able to have an explanation of self-ownership and rights.
Yeah, some wisdom.
Not that I really think it's... I don't think of it as a human that would talk, but I'm just saying that if it wanted to, I think that it would be able of doing that and not just being like, fire and brimstone for you for asking. Stupid.
Yeah, and it leads people directly to belief in the state, where you have the government saying obey, and anything that is disobedient is by definition morally wrong in the Christian worldview. Disobeying God is always, that's the chief sin. Anything that you do that disobeys God is a sin, and it's not because what you did was wrong, it's because it was disobedient. So Christianity literally defines good as obedience to authority, and it defines evil as disobedience to authority.
Well, you have to obey the laws of the land because God put the politicians in charge of you.
They do think that. I mean, first came divine right, where the kings were chosen by God to be in charge, but then I think Paul made exactly the same arguments, respect your rulers or obey your rulers or something like that. But Paul was a heretic anyway. But that aside, people, modern Christians today, they take that belief in God, that belief that obedience is good, and they just apply it to the state, where anything the state says is that you must do, you must obey. And if you don't obey, it's morally wrong. It's how they conflated morality with legality so much. We're like, running a stop sign, they believe, is morally wrong. I remember the Colorado theater shooting was, someone made the argument online that he couldn't have been a psychopath because he didn't run stop signs on the way to the theater. So he knew the difference between right and wrong.
What?
Oh my God.
Is that? Okay.
And they genuinely believed that it was morally wrong to run a stop sign. Like, not a matter of legality. It was a matter of morality. And it was Christianity that programmed them to define morality in those terms in the first place.
And how are we going to equate running a stop sign to, like, murdering people?
Or make
it
like
disobedient of authority. That was why it was a sin. It wasn't because it was a sin because it was disobeying the authority that had put the stop sign there. And that was their entire basis for their moral worldview.
But why is that even moral and good enough to overpower the fact that they went and murdered a bunch of helpless people?
Yeah, that's what
well,
I was wondering.
The argument was that, you know, people were saying that he was a psychopath and that he didn't know the difference between right and wrong because he was a psychopath. They're like, no, he clearly knew the difference between right and wrong because he didn't run any stop signs on the way to the theater.
Yeah, I get it. It's just stupid.
That was tremendously stupid.
Yeah.
Right, but that was the way that they painted it, that his
kind of
chief sin was in disobeying
way.
The stop sign, or obeying the stop sign, so that he knew that it was wrong to disobey the stop sign.
So this person would think I'm a psychopath every time I don't stop at the stop sign that's by my house.
No, they would think you were immoral, because that's how they define morality, is obedience of the law, obedience of the authority. 603-283-6160 if you want to weigh in. Coming up, tiredness and old people, are they living too long? Because it seems like they kind of want to die. It's Free Talk Live.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
USA News update. One person is dead, four others injured after a gunman opened fire in a hospital in downtown Atlanta. This man was coming out of a nearby Whole Foods when the shooting took place.
They was pushing us out of the building, pushing us into the further back into the streets, telling us to get away from this, the building where the active shooter were at, and just telling us to get back, get back.
Police say the suspect, 24-year-old Deion Patterson, may have carjacked a vehicle and fled the scene. That car was found abandoned. Another rise in interest rates is coming. The Federal Reserve has announced they are raising rates a quarter of a percentage point for the 10th rate hike in a row. Well, they are unlikely allies in Congress, but Democrat Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is teaming up with Republican Matt Gaetz to try and stop members of Congress from trading stocks. The pair introduced legislation called the Bipartisan Restoring Faith in Government Act. John Schaefer, USA News.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Free Talk Live, and you are invited to join us, 603-283-6160, if you would like to do that. Again, the number 603-283-6160. With you in the studio tonight, it's Aria,
Nikki, and it's Bonnie.
And this hour of Free Talk Live is being brought to you by Dash, which is short for digital cash, although I've always thought of it, it literally stands for digital cash, but Dash just, that's its brand to me, and that's what it means. It's Dash, right?
Yeah, I didn't know until recently.
Last year, they launched a killer app that allows you to spend Dash at over 150,000 locations across the U.S., including major retailers, and you get a discount for paying in Dash, and that's really hard to beat. So not only do you get to use a cryptocurrency contributing to the strength of its network, but you also get a discount. Often it's like 4%, 3%, 5%, but it can be up to 8 or 9 or even 10%. It's called Dash Direct, and you can get it on your Apple or Android app store. And the stores on Dash Direct, they each offer their own discount level, so it varies from, as I said, from 3% to 5%, up to 8 or 9%. Dash is the only cryptocurrency with incentives to spend rather than hold. And this isn't the first time Dash has done something directly to incentivize people to actually use it in the real world, making its ecosystem that much stronger. And we want to say thank you to the Dash DAO, that's Decentralized Autonomous Organization, for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. Visit Dash.org to learn about Dash. That's Dash.org. And check out Dash Direct from your app store. That's Dash Direct. So, coming up, Six financial tips from the financial for what is it? The Foundation for Economic Education. Yes.
Yep.
There's also FREE, which is the Foundation for Rational and Economic Education. That's the one that Ron Paul is affiliated with. So I always confuse the acronyms in my head. So that's.
Is that like a slight against FREE or?
I don't think so. I think it's just, you know. It's just a different organization that does pretty much the same thing. Because if there's anything that libertarians are good at, it's saying, hey, your idea is great, but instead of helping with it, I'm going to go do the exact same thing over here.
Yeah.
And that's libertarianism in a nutshell. And that's one of the reasons it works, but that's also one of the problems that it has. So you end up with both FREE and FREE and probably FER and whatever else you probably have. Just like now you have the Libertarian Policy Institute, the National Institute for Libertarian Policy or whatever.
The one I'm involved with is called the Libertarian Policy Alliance, and I've always thought it was a little too generic, but the thing about it that is a positive is I think it's good when people say, that one, although it's close, it's just not principled enough. I'm going to make mine a little more principled than someone else that's, you know, a little more principled, because basically Libertarian Policy Alliance came out of Young Americans for Liberty, but we just want to do it more libertarian.
Yeah, when I said that's one of his strengths, that's exactly what I mean. I mean, it creates, it's direct competition, right?
Right.
And that leads to the one that is stronger being the most successful, and that's a wonderful thing as far as I can tell. So that's coming up. Plus, George Floyd, one of the police officers involved with the murder of George Floyd, has evidently been convicted. But I've got this story here about tiredness of life, and it makes perfect sense. As scientists race to lengthen lifespans, more elderly people are itching for an early dismissal. It's almost like hundreds of thousands of years of human evolution have caused us to be ready to die around the time we reach old age.
Yeah, and it's kind of sad because a lot of elderly people are being kept alive for, like, financial gain. Like,
yeah,
nursing homes are kind of, like, using them to like, profit off of. And
it's
really sad to see because ethically, like, the most ethical thing to do was if, like, somebody starts to lose it or if their health is, like, really declining, allow them a peaceful and honorable death. You know, like, let them keep their dignity.
Or, in my opinion, they just want to die. Right? If
they
reach an age where they're like, you know, I'm done. I don't want to live anymore.
Yeah.
A lot of times it's just for the family. They're just like, I don't want to feel like I didn't do everything I could do. And the doctors will even say, like, they know that it's not actually going to help. They're just going to run all these things. And I don't know how many doctors do that just because they're like, you know, I'm going to get a check. And how many just do it because they're, like, legally supposed to.
Well, if they don't, they could get sued, right? I think that's one of the reasons they do it. It's because if they don't do everything they literally could possibly do, then that opens up the door for the family to sue them and say, our grandmother died because of you or whatever.
Yeah.
I saw an image of Martha Stewart today. She's 81 years old. She looks good for an 81-year-old. I would have guessed she was maybe in her late 50s based on this picture I saw of her. And I like the idea of lengthening lifespans in that regard, and like it takes your adulthood and it stretches it out over 50 years instead
of
10.
You know,
right? But once they reach the age where they're like 88 and they're crepit and they're like, you know, I'm done with this. If you could just go from middle age directly to death, that seems to be ideal, right?
I mean, and I've seen, you know, a wide range of different types of elderly people, right? So I've seen people in their 40s who have had a stroke, and they would, you know, might as well be in their 90s. That's, like, the quality of life and, like, the quality of the health they have after that stroke. I've also seen a woman that was 105 years old that could still walk. And then, you know, there's people in their 70s that can't walk and people in their, you know, so it's just, it depends on genetics, luck.
Yeah, my grandmother's like 95 right now and her mother lived to be like 102 or something. Like,
yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. You know, and it's crazy to think, like, some people in their hundreds are in better condition than some people in their 40s.
I have thought about it, though, what you said about nature making it to where you're ready to die when you're that age, because, like, when I think about death, like, a lot of times I'm just like, oh, I can't think about that right now. It's too creepy, and I don't want to say. But I think that you just naturally change your mind about it the older you get. Like, I'm always like, what am I going to do when I'm, like, 50? And I'm thinking about how close I am to death. Like, that's going to scare me even more. But I don't know. I think you just change as you get older. Just based off my observations of seeing other old people.
And you probably become a little more acquainted with death. I think that's why I don't fear death, because I'm very, very acquainted with death. And I think as you get older, like once people start to get, like for my grandparents, for example, once they were in their 80s, they're all of their family, aside from like the younger generation and all of their friends, had already died. Like everybody, yeah. Everybody was dead. So at that point, it's like, okay, well, this is just what happens, and you just get used to it, and it becomes a little more comfortable. And I think also, as your health starts to decline, it's like, all right, maybe that would be better, more comfortable.
Like if you feel sick every single day,
yeah,
you don't have the energy to do anything, you don't even have the desire to do anything you used to want to do, then you'll probably be more okay with it.
Yeah, I think it probably comes down a lot to quality of life and opportunities and stuff. Because, you know, the 88-year-old woman living in her house who just gets up and watches soap operas every day, honestly, she doesn't have a whole lot to live for. And I feel like all of those things make her more like, it's not like she's like, well, I have to live another year, otherwise I'm not going to go skydiving or whatever. No,
yeah.
If she was going to go skydiving, she probably would have done it by now.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I've always said that, you know, I never intend to live past 50, because anything that I want to do in my life, I will have done by the time I get to age 50. And after that, it's just like riding it out into the abyss.
Not necessarily,
into the sunset.
Stop depressing Mark.
Mark hates it when I say that, right?
Yeah, oh, but I mean, like,
he hates, that's exactly, I mean, you didn't?
Well, no, I just know that he hates being 50 and he thinks he's so old and it's so depressing.
I don't know. I just don't necessarily think that's true. Like, I know a lot of older people. Like, I know people in their 80s that are traveling the world.
Sure.
They're in good shape. They're making new experiences.
I didn't say it was true for everyone. It's just true for me.
Like, well, you don't know that yet.
No, but I know me pretty well. Right? And that was the same thing Mark said. You're going to change your mind. Well, it's not as far away now as it was 15 years ago when I first started saying it. And I'm still saying it, so I don't think it's necessarily going to change, but whatever, right?
I used to say it about being 25 all the time, and now I'm like...
Well, I set my sights like higher than 25, right?
Because
like, you're not even in your prime at 25.
Yeah.
But then I'd be really sad. I didn't think of it like that, though, but now I do. Now when I see a 20-year-old, I'm like, I can't wait till she gets older. She's going to be so pretty. But like back then, I thought 20 was your prime. You just don't get prettier. It's just downhill from there. I don't know why I thought that. But then again, it's probably just because I'm 26 and I can look at things differently. But, you know, when you're like 19, you don't think that.
No, it's weird how my perspective on things like slowly changes over the years in a way that I don't really necessarily notice it. And like I would have said, you know, 15 years ago that my current age, 35 or whatever, is old. And now I'm here and I'm like, it's really not that old, right?
But and you know that people who are 19 now are thinking, that will never happen to me. Because that's what I thought. I thought,
yeah,
like,
but I
that
know
won't
that they're looking at me and going, man, she's old, right?
I don't know. I never felt that way when I was a teenager, but I was also hanging out with people a lot older than I was when I was even, like, you know, like 14 years old. So I think I was just like, oh, I always felt like, wow, I'm so young. Like, I can't wait until I'm older so I can, you know, whatever.
I think I pretty obviously always, like, reveled in it. Like, I had older friends, and I liked being, like, the joke, like, that I'm young.
No, okay. I hated it. I was like, finally, I can't wait until I can buy my own cigarettes and my own beer and stuff, and I don't have to, like,
well,
whatever.
There's certainly a lot of that with me as well.
I mean, yeah. I still wanted those things, too, but I liked being young, and it made me really sad to turn 20. I was like, I'm not a teenager. This is horrible.
Oh, I don't know.
I mean, it's technically true.
Even when I was a little kid, like, I always just wanted, like, the freedom and the independence that came with being an adult. Like, I always wanted, you know, to, like, be financially stable. I always, you know, worked a couple of jobs, and, like, that was my main goal, to be like, I don't have to rely on anybody. I can do everything on my own.
So Molly was 88 years old and in good health. She had outlived two husbands, her siblings, most of her friends, and her only son. So this is the person they're leading this story with about, you know, elderly people who are ready to end their lives. And, like, she's outlived two husbands, all her siblings, most of her friends, and her only son. Yeah, think she's ready to go? I'm shocked she's still hanging on. She says, I don't have any meaningful relationships left, dear. They've all died.
That's and so you know, sad. Oh, my gosh.
I mean, it's inevitable, though. That's,
no, it makes sense.
That's life.
But, yeah.
My grandma says how sad she is that she's the last of her, like, 8 siblings to be alive. And she has said before, like, I'm just ready to go to heaven, which makes me sad. But I understand where she's coming from, because it would make me so sad to think about all my siblings being dead. None of them are dead right now, so. Ugh.
They've all died. And you know what? Underneath it all, I want to leave this world to. Leaning a little closer as though she was telling me a secret, she continued, shall I tell you what I am? I'm strong. I can admit to myself and to you that there's nothing left for me here. I'm more than ready to leave when it's my time. In fact, it can't come quickly enough. So the author says that she's interviewed many older people for research. Every so often, she's struck by the sincerity with which some people feel that their life is completed and they seem tired of being alive. The author wrote this in first-person perspective. I'm trying to avoid that because it's unnecessarily confusing, and I don't know why whatever editor was editing this didn't fix it, but moving on. They've interviewed many older people for research. I said that. She's a member of the European Understanding Tiredness of Life in Older People Research Network, and I tried to figure out if that's some sort of acronym or something. From what I can tell, it's not. That's just what they called it. The Understanding Tiredness of Life in Older People Research Network.
That's a mouthful.
Yeah. Maybe it's not in the original language since it's European.
Maybe, but I guess that could be it. A group of geriatricians, psychiatrists, social scientists, psychologists, and death scholars who want to better understand the phenomenon and unpick what is unique about it. I don't know what they mean by unpick what is unique about it, but whatever. Professor of Care Ethics L. von Wijnjarden and colleagues in the Netherlands listened to a group of older people who were not seriously ill, yet they felt a yearning to end their lives. And I don't think... I'm all for assisted suicide, right? If you have a doctor who wants to, you know, kill you and you want to die, and those two things should work great together, right? But I don't like the hurdles that society is already gearing up to put in it, that you have to be terminally ill, you have to be a certain age or whatever.
I mean, it's just weird because they kind of already have that. Like, that's like hospice care, right? So I guess, what is this, like, expedited hospice care?
Well,
like, instead of
hospice care is just they take care of you until you die.
Yeah, but they also give you a ton of morphine, which helps.
Well, yeah, but the assisted suicide is they literally kill you.
Yeah, it's
like, here, take this, and you won't live anymore.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. It's just like a sped up process of kind of like end of life care.
Well, except it's not letting you die. It's not letting you die. It's causing you to die.
Yeah.
And that's where they get upset about it.
But it still has like the same barriers, right? So like you have to be a certain age or whatever, terminally ill.
To do hospice, really? I mean,
Well, they call it like palliative care for like children. But yeah, to do hospice, you need to be terminally ill. They will not let you do hospice. Because I mean, with hospice, like you just won't die unless you're in the stages of dying, right? Yeah.
Hospice is basically they're just going to load you up with morphine until you die, right? That's pretty much what it is. So if you're not dying,
it's not going to work.
Right.
Yeah.
They're just getting you high.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't want...
be fine too if that's what you want to do.
It should be if you have a doctor that wants to do and everything. But when I die, I think that I want to be able to be sober for it. Because I've heard that, like, you have just lots of calming, like, hallucinations is what you'd call it, that, like, you see your other family members that have died and things like that, and then it brings more peace to the people who have those experiences than the people who are morphined out of their mind, confused and scared because they don't know what's going on to them.
I would think maybe... at, like, having watched people die, obviously I haven't done it myself, so I can't say for certain, but a lot of the times when people are dying, they either have cancer or something that's extremely painful, so we do give them a lot of morphine.
It's different if you're in pain dying.
Yeah.
But there aren't any painless ways to die, are there?
Well, you know, you just die.
He died in his sleep, like, it must have been peaceful, like, those sort of things are, like, instant impact, that sort
of
thing.
Or just, like
you get hit by a car and die instantly.
There's also, like, you have a thing wrong with your organs, they're shutting down, so you're being treated for, like, that pain, but not, like, morphined out of your mind, confused, and not the same person you were before it happened.
Aren't
they
the same thing?
Well, okay, so once you get to a certain level of pain, like, the only thing that's going to help is medications that are also going to have some sort of, like, nervous system depressant aspects to it, right? So, like, you're going to feel...
don't want to do that.
Like, Tylenol's not going to cut it if you have, like, cancer or, like, multi-system organ failure.
Yeah, I've never had, you know, anything like that. The worst pain I've ever felt was from kidney stones.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
That's pretty bad, yeah.
There was nothing that was going to help with that. Even painkillers didn't really...
Yeah, like, you need, like a Percocet or something, like, a little bit stronger than Tylenol or Motrin.
Yeah. Horrible.
But
would not recommend. There's a reason I don't drink soft drinks anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not pleasant.
Mineral water can do it, too. That's not
that. No, this is normal water.
Yeah. But based on what I've seen of people at the end of their life on hospice or whatever, it seems to me like they are in a trance almost. So they might be on, you know, a lot of drugs that are kind of, you know, altering their mental status, or they might be like high, so to speak. But it's almost like they're having an outer body experience. So I'm wondering if, even if their like physical body is on, is intoxicated, if their like spirit or their consciousness is, or if it kind
of
gets separated at that point.
I really hope so.
Because I remember when my grandmother passed away, I was in the room with her 5 minutes before she died, and she was kind of, you know, on the end for like a couple weeks there. My dad called me and was like, you better get there. Like, she's kind of, you know, at the end.
Right.
So I went and saw her. And from the time my dad texted me that to the time I got out of work and was able to see her, that might have been like 4 or 5 hours. I went and sat with my grandmother for like 45 minutes, whatever, said goodbye, said that, whatever. And she died within 5 minutes of me leaving. So it's hard for me to believe that she wasn't waiting for, you know what I mean? Like, even though, like, her physical body, like, she was not there at all. She couldn't speak. She couldn't open her eyes. Like, she was very much, you know, not with it. But to me, like, how, like, what is, like, that would be so big of a coincidence for her to pass on 5 minutes after my leaving. I mean, like, that is just too close for me.
It
so
is,
to
yeah.
me, it seems like maybe she was having, like, some sort of outer body experience, or, like, her soul was disconnected already, and
like
she was
like, watching
just,
you come.
Yeah, like, she was just waiting, and that's even what my father said, and he's not really into, like, spiritual type stuff, but he's like, she must have been waiting for you,
that's
because
really
how
cool.
else are you going to, like, you when know, I, how else are you going to explain that?
When I did IT in Mississippi, one of my clients, his wife was dying of some sort of terminal cancer. I don't remember exactly what it was, but she died. And then less than a month later, he had also died some kind of cancer that no one even knew this dude had had. And, like, it was so obvious that he just, he gave
died
up.
Died of a broken heart.
Yeah.
They say it, yeah. It's
and
true.
So, yeah, it's, and I can absolutely imagine your, I think you said your grandmother, mm-hmm. waiting for you to come there, and then you didn't. She's like, all right, I'm done now, letting go.
Yeah.
I don't know how all of that works, right? And by the time I figure out how all that works, I'll be
you'll
dying
be able
anyway.
To tell
I'll
us, right?
to tell you, but,
I
yeah.
hope that, like, what you're saying is true, that, like, even if somebody's on so much morphine and stuff like that, that, you know, the human spirit can, you know, go beyond that. Because it's always been kind of a fear of mine. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be unable to speak for myself or something. I'm going to be put on a bunch of drugs, and a human experience of dying is going to be taken away from me. But hopefully,
I don't think it can't be taken away. Yeah, I don't think it can be taken away. Obviously, like I said, there's no way of me to know this. But I've sat with a lot of people as they've died. And that's just kind of what I think.
So these people who are reaching the end of their lives, they're elderly, they are describing aching loneliness, pain associated with not mattering, struggles with self-expression, existential tiredness, fear of being reduced to a completely dependent state. And all of those sound horrifying, and they sound more or less what I would expect of someone in their 80s and 90s to basically end up like. The pain associated with not mattering sounds like it may be one of the worst things ever, right?
Cause, yeah, that's kind of sad.
You're obsolete. You're irrelevant at that point.
No.
I completely get why someone would. I mean, and that's a heartless thing for me to say of someone who's in their 90s or whatever, but it's just a recognition of the reality. Unless you're like Joe Biden or whatever, you're not 90s and you're done. You're not affecting the world anymore at that point.
When a lot of these people are dependent on others, you know, like
there's
once you get
that,
to the point where you can't feed yourself and you can't really, I mean, like that must be really difficult to cope with.
Like it makes me so sad every time I hear about like someone I know's mom or grandma who just started these phases where they get their keys taken away or they get moved from their own house physically to a old folks home. It makes me so sad because it's like, imagine being an adult for what, 50 years, and then suddenly somebody's like, you're not allowed to drive anymore. Sounds so terrible.
Yeah, it's really difficult for people to deal with that.
One man of 92 years old told the network's researchers, you have no effect on anything. The ship sets sail and everyone has a job, but you just sail along. You're cargo to them. I'm cargo to them. That's not easy. That's not me. Humiliation is too strong of a word, but it is bordering on it. I simply feel ignored, completely marginalized. I did not realize that this is just going to be so depressing. I thought it was going to be more about the counterbalance of scientists and what they have to face between helping people live longer lives and not meeting their obligation to help people end, like, if your entire industry is set up to keep people alive, then when they're ready to die, you should also help them with that. It's like, okay,
yeah,
you did your job, now finish your job and let me die.
Yeah, and it kind of disgusts me because I've worked in nursing homes before, and they are just absolutely profiting off of these people. There's not enough staff. Like, there are so many issues I can list with nursing homes. Like, the staff isn't paid enough, so no one wants to work there. It's a job that's not for the faint of heart. So these people are just essentially being neglected in nursing homes, and they're just being kept alive as zombies on a ton of meds. And it's disgusting.
That is disgusting, and I think society as in general needs to have a serious conversation about assisted suicide, because our perspective on suicide hasn't really changed since like the days of Plato,
yeah.
Right? We've always had this idea that, oh no, suicide is bad.
It's like the worst thing,
You should be forced to stay alive, right?
Mm-hmm. Because it's illegal. It's literally illegal to commit suicide.
Yeah.
Which doesn't make any sense.
Well, it's murder, right?
How will you be punished, though? You're dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if you fail, that's when they punish you.
Oh, okay, well,
and
I didn't know that.
It's completely crazy, considering at least the circumstances like this, where you have 80 and 90 years old, and like, hey, will you please just let us die?
Yeah, like, they've...
And she's so well-spoken about it, too. Like, mm-hmm. For a while, I thought you were saying that was what the scientist was saying. But no, it's the 80-year-old saying these things.
And Vermont, I believe, has passed in... assisted suicide thing. I know that.
Have they?
I think Ohio has as well. There's at least two states that have, and one of them has what they're calling death tourism now, and they've stopped, I think it was Vermont, they've stopped requiring proof of residency in order to assist with suicide.
Oh.
So society's slowly moving in the right direction. I just don't think it's going far enough.
Yeah.
Because I don't think you should have to reach the age of 92 and dying of stage 4 cancer before they're like, oh, okay, you know what? Yeah, you probably. Just like if you're a woman, you shouldn't have to wait until you're 26 or whatever to get...
Your tubes tired.
Just saying, hey, I'm an adult. This is the procedure I want.
Yeah.
Should be enough.
Oh, you don't think you should have to get your husband's signature?
No, I don't think you should have to.
It's more than that. Ridiculous. It's just like, no, I won't do that. I don't care if your husband says no or says yes in some situation. Like my friend who was 25, had a boy and a girl, wanted to get her tubes tied in Florida and couldn't.
Wow. And, I mean, to be fair, the doctor has the right to refuse service. But are they refusing service because they want to or for legal reasons? Because it's usually the latter. What are your thoughts on assisted suicide and getting your tubes tied? 603-283-6160 if you want to weigh in. There's more coming up. It is Free Talk Live.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about the alarming increase in man-made disasters, financial institutions collapsing, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare, and the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on over a dozen emergency food kits. These include tasty breakfasts, lunches, dinners, drinks, fruits, veggies, meats, and snacks, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. My Patriot Supply food kits are in stock and shipped discreetly. We've seen too many Americans let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.